right, somebody tell me something good. One more time. Outstanding. Philip's about to become a full-time employee at Red River. So, see him for all your bird seed needs. All right. Somebody else, tell me something good. For your insurance license? All right. It's not food, but it ain't bad, right? Richard. Two grandkids graduating this Saturday from Monterey. Who are they? All right. Outstanding. All right. Somebody tell me something good.
I'm going to start my new job Friday.
All right.
Where?
Lubbock Children's Home.
Lubbock Children's Home. New job. All right. What? Teresa wanted to say a follow-up on Lisa's good news. She starts a new job. When?
Friday.
And I asked where. She said Children's Home of Lubbock. And then Teresa wanted to give something good. She said she's got a really good boss. There were some people sitting in the room that weren't shaking their heads. So, yeah. So we need to talk about that. All right. I didn't say that.
I've got an interview tomorrow at KFC to start working morning shifts. Part-time. Where Mike works.
Rebecca's got an interview tomorrow at KFC. When you get the job, let us know. We will make that place's stock go way up. All right. I'm sorry? So, if I talk, don't act like I was talking on a cell phone, would y'all get that quiet for me? I mean, you nosy people, I wonder what she's talking about, yeah. Don't tell me you were being polite. I know the truth, man, I know the truth. I wonder who she's talking to. All right, somebody tell me something good. Catherine's mom. Catherine's mom, Anna's grandmother, Danielle's grandmother, all the same person, got new life last Thursday. And that, talking about new life, anybody sitting in this room that got a brand new life 1 week ago today, hold up your hand. Look at this right here. And if you don't remember names, which I know you don't be acting like you do. That's Janie. Wave your hand, Janie. I'm not going to ask Janie to stand up because it wouldn't help. But that's Janie. And this is Mercedes. All right. All right. Somebody tell me something good. Aha. I think that's rather rude to interrupt me because that's exactly where I was headed, Aaron. I was going, except I was going to suggest a real dignified name like Rexaford or something, you know. That's a possibility. Franklin Rexaford. Yeah. All right, somebody tell me something good. Healthy baby. That's a baby entrusted to that family by God and healthy. That's a gift. That's a blessing. Some last call. Tell me something good. We ran out of good things, right? Ruby. All right, I don't know which part of this is supposed to be the best part, but Rick working is good. That's a good thing. They went on a camping trip and survived. That's a good thing. She said then, with a bigger smile on her face than any other time, that Rick, because he was working so much, was out of town. Yeah. I want you to hear that again and understand, and we're just going to thank God, and then I'll explain to our folks that are fresh face why we do what we do here. What April was telling you, but a month ago today that she went into that shelter, found a safe place for her and the boys. She's gotten stronger. And one of the reasons she says she's gotten stronger is because of her church family. You have any idea who she's talking about? I think she's talking about you. And yeah, and she's. What I wanted you to hear though was the next thing. Today she had opportunity to help someone else that's going through the same situation, and she got a chance to share with them what's gone on in her life and what God has done for her and what you've done for her. And so now there's someone else out there who's at least given some hope that maybe, just maybe, they'll let God help them rebuild their life. Sometimes you have to go through the valley of trouble to find the door of hope. That's not some bumper sticker. That's the Word of God. He says, I'll send you through the valley of trouble to find the door of hope. For some of us, we would have never found hope. Some of us would have never looked for hope. Some of us would have never paid any attention to hope if we hadn't have gone through some trouble. So while I know, and there's some folks in here that understand, while it hadn't been easy, God was still working out things for good. And that's why we do this exercise, right? All right. Let's tie a knot on our study. We're going to read in the last few chapters of Exodus. You got your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. We started out months ago reading in Genesis, learning about God. And now we studied Moses, and we studied Noah, and we studied Abraham, and we studied those great men and great women that you read about in the Bible. But our intent was to learn about God. We do a lot of talking in here about us, about what we've gone through, and about what we've tried and had to overcome. But in all of that discussion, the point is, what do we learn about God? What April just was saying. There are things that she understands that this girl's gone through that nobody else understands. Nobody else understands what she understands about it from her perspective. But from this experience and sharing it with someone else, what you're also learning is about God. How God works in these kind of situations. How God works it out for good. We talked about Adam, we talked about Noah, we talked about Abraham, we talked about Joseph. We finally started talking about Moses. And the first thing, when we got to the book of Exodus, we talked about Moses. We found out he met God, and God for the first time introduced himself, and he said, I am. I am the I am. And so we had some for our learning purposes, but it was also kind of fun. Who is the God? Who is the God? If you ask all those things that claim to be gods and all those religions that claim to have gods, which God is it that says, I can take a dirt clod and turn him into a man? I am. That's what God says. I am that God. Who is the God that can bring judgment on a whole earth but still spare 8 people and start things all over again? And God says, I am. Who is the God? Who is the God that can put a boy in jail and keep him there right where he wants him until he needs him to work out the salvation of all the world? God says, I am. Who's the God that can part the Red Sea? Who is the God that can rain bread from heaven? Who's the water God that can turn a rock into a river? And God says, I am. God made a deal with Moses. And he made a deal with those people, and he wants to make a deal with us. Underlined it last week, won't reteach it, but I want to start this way. God wants you. God wants you. He wants to make a deal with you. The word in the Bible is covenant. He wants to make a covenant with you. He wants you. He wants you to make an agreement with him. He wants you to make a deal with him. Now, he's going to keep his side of the deal, and he's going to make a deal about some things like he is going to forgive our sins, and he's not going to remember those sins anymore. He's going to give us a new life, and it'll be the kind of life that'll stay new every day we walk in the light. He is going to make us a deal that we become his children, and just like our own children, he's not going to give up on us, so we shouldn't give up on him. But in Exodus 35, and it's not easy reading, y'all. It's not easy reading, but God wants to do something for them. God wants to do something with them that he hadn't done before. He wants them to build him a tent. He wants them to build him a tent. It has to be a tent because they're going to be moving around for about 40 years. But he wants them to build him a dwelling place, so that he can put his name there, so he can put his presence there. Now, time out a second. Why would God want that? God is everywhere. God is over all, under all, through all, for all, everywhere. But why does he want them to make a tent where he can dwell? I'll let you think it through. Why would he do that? Why does God want them to have a tent where his presence dwells? Yeah, it's not for him. He doesn't need a tent, does he? In fact, he'll say, I don't need your tent. I got the whole universe. I'm the one that created all this. I don't need your little piddly tent. I don't need your curtains. I don't need your gold. I made all of this stuff. So why did he do it? Because he wanted them to have a place. One more time. He wanted them to have a place that would remind them that God lives with them. Now real quick, why do you think that's important? Why is it important to know that, why was it important to them that they would know God lived with them? Anybody? They kept forgetting it, so they needed the reminder. It gave them some strength. Tell me how it would give you strength. How would it give those folks strength to be able to say, oh, there's God. I know where to go find God. I know where to go talk to God. I know where to go to sacrifice to God. It's a refuge. Why is it a helpful thing?
Not alone.
God is with me. You know how I know that? Because I can see his tent. And I can see that fire that's burning. Or I can see that cloud during the day. I can see that God is with me. What's one of the things we struggle with in this place? Not talking about any other church. Not talking about humans in general. Not talking about religious people at all. I'm talking about us. What's one of the toughest things for us to handle? Honest. Is the thought of being alone. Now, the reason I changed the way you said it, because some of us are still alone even when we don't think we are. Some of you have picked up relationships. You picked up guys. You picked up girls that you thought meant that you weren't alone. And what did you discover? In fact, you were more alone with them than you were just all by yourself, right? We hate the thought of being alone. One of the things that there are people in this room that have said it, and that not being mean about it, just being real about it. We have a fear of being alone. Oh, I don't want to be alone. So what do we do when we don't want to be alone? We will settle. We'll accept something less than what God wants us to have, something less than what we deserve, because we just don't want to be alone. Well, the God that was with them, the God that wanted them to build a tent for Him so His presence could be with them, the God that wanted to give them strength, the God that wanted to make sure that they didn't feel alone, all of those things you just said, is the same God that said, I won't live with you, I will live in you. One more time. To them He said, I will live with you. To us, several pages later in a book called the New Testament, He says, I will live in you. What's the difference? What's the difference between with and in?
We are the tent.
We are the tent. It's a relationship. We are the dwelling place of God. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before. Here was this tabernacle. Now, I'm drawing it to scale. This is exactly how it looked, all right? Y'all are so rude to me today. I don't get babies named after me. Except these big old babies. All right, now. Here's a tabernacle. God said, I want you to build me a tent. I want you to build me a tent. I'm going to dwell with you. All right? He's going to dwell with them. And there's going to be this table where this bread was. And then there's going to be this place where these lights are. And all of these things were to remind them that He was with them. But hang on. This is the holy place. Only a certain bunch of people could go in here. Nobody else was allowed. But then there was a place called the most holy place. In fact, if you're being real accurate, you say mostest. It was the mostest holy place. It was the holiest of holy places. This was the place where God had that ark, remember? That ark built, and those angels, those cherubim were over the top of it. And inside it was the law of Moses. There was Aaron's rod, and then there was a cup of manna, a bowl of manna in there. Remember that story? We talked about it. Shake your head like you remember it. Even if you're lying to me. And they're very good students. All right, now, that was where God was going to dwell with them. But in the book of Ephesians, God says He made His dwelling place in us. We are the dwelling place of God. And the word He uses, to discuss us, is sanctuary, the most holy place, the mostest, holiest place. The holy of holies is where?
In us.